Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
Church, but that we partner with other people. And so that's part of what 8 Days of Hope does. And this is a part of what our global ministry involves as well. And so here in just a few minutes, I'm going to let you hear from one of our church leaders in Malawi. It was in 2013 when, in a rather remarkable fashion, God laid Africa on our hearts, that Africa was where God wanted us to engage. Africa was where God wanted us to partner with the church and be in ministry there. And we didn't know exactly what that meant at the time. We just contacted our area director for Africa in the Free Methodist Church and said, hey, we want to get involved in Africa. What do you suggest? And what we ended up doing was, this wasn't right away, but in very short order, he suggested that we be a part of the work that we have in the small country of Malawi in Africa. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in Africa, but it's also one of the richest. Malawi understands, we haven't talked about this, Pastor, but the warm heart of Africa is how Malawi understands itself, and that is what they are. They are people with warm, warm hearts. And so over the course of the years, we made several trips to Africa in 2014, and in 2004, and in 2007, and then in 2012. And we had three different people from our congregation accompany me on those trips. And I was able to help train our pastors there that we have in Malawi, and who are great men and women who live very sacrificial lives to do the work that they do there. And then we also worked with children and kind of partnered with a church and built a well on a church site that ministers to orphan children that are there. So this is what's happened. Over the course of the years, we have been involved with several different, what we would understand to be traditional missionaries, white missionaries from the West. And so when I first went there was one particular couple there. When we went back in 2007, there was a different individual there. And when I went back in 2012, there was yet a third couple there. And now Malawi, the church in Malawi, has grown and matured to the place where they're not really asking for or needing Western leadership or leadership from the American church. They actually are led by Pastor Ben Kalakusha, who is the principal of the school, the pastor's training school that we call the Great Commission Bible School. So it trains pastors for Malawi. He's the principal now. We have almost exclusively Malawian pastors now that are doing the teaching. So white pastors from the West aren't going over there. The school is prospering, and the ministry is prospering. In all the years that we've been supporting Malawi, we have never had an occasion to have someone from Malawi come and be with us. Pastor Kalakusha was at General Conference with us, and so he stayed and visited a church out in Washington State, and then us. And so, like at 2 o'clock at 2 o'clock Monday morning, we're putting him on a plane to go back to Malawi. We're his. He gets to share the last word with us, which is really great. So, Pastor Kalakusha is, as I said, he's the principal of the school. He's the most educated, so I don't want to embarrass you, but he's the most educated pastor that we have in Malawi. He has a bachelor's degree in education, he has a master's degree in theology, and right now he's working on his PhD. Well qualified to lead a school for training other pastors. And he has a heart for his country, and he has a heart for the Lord. So he's going to share some of the work that we're doing there. But I've also asked him to bring the Word of God to us this morning, so he's going to preach as well. He could preach in his native language, which would be Chichewa. We don't know Chichewa very well, So he's going to preach in English. His English is way better than our Chichewa. So that'll work. So would you welcome him and give your hearts, your eyes, and your minds to Pastor Kalakusha this morning. Pastor, would you join us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here. And I've never preached in the U.S., and this is so exciting for me. And at the same time, I've never shared the gospel to American people. So for me, this is more like a missionary coming from Malawi to U.S. So I'm happy about it, and I'm excited about it. As you've heard, yes, I'm Ben Kalakusha. I have a family. I have one wife and the five children. Four girls and the one girl. We are actually serving at the Great Commission Bible School, which is the ministry of Free Methodist Church in Malawi. Part of the reason as to why I'm here is to thank you for the work that you're doing. Some of you pray for us back in Malawi. Some of you give your money to the church in Malawi. I wish to assure you that God is actually working in Malawi. Wonderful things are happening in Malawi. And if you pray for us, know that your prayers are not in vain. If you send money to Malawi, know that your money is not actually going into waters. It is actually used in a very, very powerful way. So part of the reason for me to come here is to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for everything that you do for us. And may the Lord continue blessing you and extending your territories so that at the end of the day, one day all of us are going to meet in heaven, and we shall thank God and praise him forever and evermore. Amen. I'd like to share with you what we do. I have a few slides that I wish to share with you. What we do in Malawi. Of course, it's a little bit shaky, but basically what is written there is Free Methodist Church of Malawi, Great Commission Bible School. The Great Commission Bible School, you can move to the next slide. The Great Commission Bible School, that's the picture. Those are the students, and the I am there as well, and the other one is my wife. We have people coming from all over Malawi. Malawi has a population of about 17 million. And as you have already heard from the Pastor Tim, that Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the world. Basically, it is the fourth poorest country in the world. Poverty is everywhere. Part of the reason why our country is poor is because corruption is also one of the challenges that we are actually facing in our country. Most of the people live in the rural areas, and about 15% of the population live in the urban areas. So these pastors, they actually come from the villages of Malawi, because the Free Methodist Church of Malawi is actually mainly settled in the rural areas. So many of these come from those particular rural areas. And the support that you give is able to, we provide transport money for them, going back and coming to school. And we also provide food for them, because on their own, they cannot manage to actually fund their education. So the support that you give enables us to provide for the tuition, enables us to provide for accommodation, and also for their transport money. Some come as far as close to Tanzania, which is very far from where the Bible school is. But all these people actually come to the school. The school is actually situated at the center of the country, which is the capital city of Malawi, Lilongwe. You may move to the next slide. The Free Methodist Bible School, which is called Great Commission Bible School, was actually established in 1983. The Free Methodist Church in Malawi was started by a Malawian who had gone to Zimbabwe, and while he was there, he heard about Free Methodist Church and through the missionaries, and then he was trained there in Zimbabwe, and then he came back to Malawi and established the church. When the missionaries heard about what was happening in Malawi, the U.S. church started supporting the work in Malawi, and in 1983, that's when the Bible school was established, and it was established with the purpose of actually training the Malawian leadership and also the people beyond Malawi, because we have also other students who actually come from Mozambique as well as Zambia and part of Tanzania. You can go to the next slide. So that's our mission. Our main reason why we exist is to train the leadership of the Free Methodist Church in Malawi. Next. Our vision is to be a leadership and theological training center of excellence in providing the Christ-centered leaders who will be able to serve in the Free Methodist Church of Malawi. Basically, the challenge that we have in Malawi is that we have so many churches, maybe about, it's more than 50 churches in terms of the circuits. And then these particular circuits have also branches. So we do not have enough training leadership. Most of those particular other churches are actually led by supply pastors. So the field is just so large, but the laborers are few. So we wish we would have been training more pastors so that most of our churches are led by people who have got the technical know-how on how they can actually lead the churches. But it's quite a challenge to do that because of the resources that we normally have. The next slide. So that's our mandate. And then we have also in 2013, when I became the principal, and then going into 2014, we established an academy for girls and boys. And these are, you know, girls and boys of the ages from 4 up to somewhere 18. The main reason is that within our community, there are a lot of bad things that actually happen. We see a lot of girls going into prostitution. We see a lot of boys going into committing crimes. And we felt that we as a church, as Free Methodist Church, we could do something about our communities. We could help provide the education that is faith-based, that is going to actually bring people closer to God. So we opened the school, and these are the kids. At this particular period of time, they had gone for a visit at the capital, in city center of Lilongwe. So that's what we normally do. We have a lot of teachers, but still more, they are not enough because the kids are just so many. You could go to the next slide. Those are the kids. And then we have also girls. As I said that... apart from prostitution in Malawi, one of the challenges is that most of the girls get married at the early age. A rich man, maybe who has 4 wives or 5 wives, could go for a girl who's maybe about the age of 12 or 13 just because he has money. So the reason why the girl would actually accept is because they have, you know, they do not have resources for them, or they do not have any type of education. So we actually established this school as a ministry to help the girl child get education. Nelson Mandela, who was the president of South Africa, once said that the only way to move out of poverty is through formal education. We can only break out of poverty if people are actually trained and then they are able to be independent. So this is one of the reasons as to why we actually established the girls' school. so that they could be removed from prostitution. They could also be removed from early marriages. Those are the girls. The Great Commission Bible School also provides training for women. As you know that we train the, as I've already said, that we train pastors. But then, in most cases, like at Great Commission Bible School, the majority of the people that we train are men. And women are not given the opportunity to be trained. So what happens is that you have a husband who is a pastor, who is well trained, and then you have a wife who does not have any knowledge of the theology or anything. You know, it's so shameful in our country that, like, most of the women don't know how to read and write. You'd have a pastor's wife who doesn't know how to read, who doesn't know how to write. And then you have a pastor who has been trained for about maybe 3 years at the Bible school. And then you have a wife who does not have any knowledge. So we felt that we could also provide education for women. So there are times that we have the women's module. We invite them and then we train them on how they can help their husbands to actually lead the church. So there, we had gone to the prison. Could you go to the next slide? That's the prison in Malawi. The Bible talks about, the Bible calls us to visit the prisoners. So the women, after being trained, then they had the opportunity to go and visit the prisoners. As you can see, it's so congested. The way the people are looking there, that's also how they almost sleep during the night. There is no enough space in our prisons. And in most cases, they do not have food. They do not have soap. So the women were able to go and actually provide those resources for the prisoners. The Bible tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Therefore, we have to go and make disciples. The very reason as to why we exist as Great Commission Bible School is to go and make disciples. That's the time when I was baptizing. That's the time when I was preaching. Next slide. Yes, that's it. So thank you very much for actually for your attention. May God bless you for the prayers that you offer for the work in Malawi, and also for the support, any kind of support that you give to Malawi Church. We really thank you, and we do not take that for granted. May God abundantly bless you. Amen. Let us transit to the Word of God. I'd like to thank Pastor Tim for providing the opportunity that I can share the pulpit here with him. I do not take this for granted. I thank the leadership here for actually welcoming me. And I thank you all for actually paying attention to what I'm going to say here. Let us turn to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I wish I would have read verses 1 up to verse 13, but in the interest of time, I'll only read verse 5 and up to verse 8. Verse 5 up to verse 8. Luke chapter 4. I commence reading. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning for your loving kindness and mercy. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us. that indeed we can hear your word. May you help us to understand that which you want us to understand. Father God, on our own, we cannot manage to understand it, but we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. It is in Jesus' name that I've prayed. Amen. For us to understand this portion of Scripture, I think it's important to situate the story in its context by providing the background to the story. Basically, the Bible is telling us, starting from verse 1 of this particular chapter, of Luke chapter 4, that Jesus Christ was actually full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And as he was full of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that it was at this particular period of time, he was returning from Jordan. I think there he was also ministering. And he was returning from Jordan. And then he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He went into the desert. And when he went into the desert, one of the things that we see is that Jesus Christ spent 40 days and 40 nights without food, without water. And it was during at that particular period of time where we see something very unusual happened. The Bible tells us that at this time, Jesus was actually speaking to the devil. Of course, ordinarily, we would not expect the Son of God to be speaking to the devil. But at this time, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was in the wilderness, at the time when he had spent 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ was confronted with the devil. And the devil had actually asked him to turn the stones into blade. Of course, I know that this is not the first time where we read about God speaking to the devil. You remember that in the book of Job, chapter 1, God also spoke to the devil, where God was actually asking the devil, "Where are you coming from?" And then the devil was saying, "I'm just roaming around, going back and forth." And at that particular period of time, the devil had seen the servant of God, and he wanted to do something bad to the servant of God. And God knew about it. Likewise, this is also the almost similar story where we see Jesus Christ is actually speaking to the devil. And the devil is actually asking Jesus Christ to turn the stones into blade. And Jesus Christ actually responded by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, that I cannot actually turn the stones into bread, because the Bible tells us, the word of God tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. So what we see here is that Jesus Christ was put into the temptation of actually turning the stones into bread. Of course, the issue of bread seems to be very simple, but the issue of bread or the issue of food is not a simple thing. We have seen kingdoms rising because of bread. We have seen kingdoms falling because of bread. You remember that in the even Esau had to sell his birthright because of food. You also remember the issue of food has even been used in different political arenas. Like in my country, we had a president. We had a person who was vying for the presidency. And what he did was he had to provide food to the people. And he provided a lot of food. And because he had provided a lot of food, people received the food. And at the end of the day, people started calling him Messiah. Why? Because he had provided food to the people. You also remember in the Bible that Jesus Christ fed about 5,000 people. And when he had fed 5,000 people, some people came and told him that we have to make you a king. But Jesus Christ did not accept to be an earthly king. So the issue of food is not a simple thing. It is something that can actually lead us to temptation. Here in the U.S., I read a story about the elections of 1928, whereby we had a man by the name Herbert Hoover. One of the things that he had actually promised during his campaigns was that he's going to put in each and every pot a chicken. That's how food can actually influence the societies. So that is not the main. That's not my main my main area that I want to concentrate on. But the main area that I want to concentrate on is starting from verse 5. The verse 5 says, the devil led him up to the high place. The devil led Jesus Christ to the high place. After he had tempted him about the food, after he had failed to convince him about the food, then the devil is actually leading Jesus Christ to a higher place. I love the higher places. I don't know about you, but I love the higher places. As I was coming here in the U.S., I was in the plane, and then the first thing that we saw was, you know, I saw New York City, a beautiful city. I was able to see everything because I was up there. I may not know what kind of higher places you may have. Higher places could be a places where we can actually follow from. The devil led Jesus Christ to the higher place. Perhaps maybe he knew that if he's on the ground, he cannot win the battle. And then he led him on the higher place. And when he was there, then he kept on tempting him. Oftentimes, the higher places are places from which we can actually follow from. So, I may not know what kind of higher places you may have. It could be the financial stability. It could be the education success that we have. Or it could be the family peace that we have. Those are places that the devil can actually use to tempt us. Those are the places where the devil can actually use to coax himself to himself. Jesus Christ was led to the higher place. And he was actually led to the higher place. The main reason why the devil had taken him to the higher place was because he wanted Jesus Christ to see the kingdoms of the world. The same verse says, the devil led Jesus Christ up to the higher place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He does it in an instant. Now, I was trying to check the meaning of instant because English is my second language. And I found that instant simply means rapidly, quickly, in a moment. The devil led Jesus to the higher place, and in an instant, he showed Jesus. It was more like a video clip. He showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Now, we need to understand that the kingdoms of the world were not created or are not created by the devil. They do not belong to the devil. The kingdoms of the world belong to God. And what we see is that the devil is actually taking Jesus Christ to the higher place, and then he's showing him what doesn't belong to him. He's showing Jesus what doesn't belong to the devil. And he does it in an instant. The Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The question that I may ask this morning is, how many moments do we give to the devil? Because the moment we give the devil an instant, he can do so many things. The kingdoms of the world are so many, but within few seconds, the devil was able to show Jesus everything. The attraction of the world. And Jesus Christ was not attracted. When he saw, perhaps this is what I think, when Jesus Christ saw what was happening in the world, he felt sorry for the world. He knew that this is not what I had actually created at the beginning. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was there when the creation was being created. When the kingdoms were being created, he was there. And when he saw what the devil was showing him, the devil thought that Jesus Christ would be attracted based on what he's going to see. But Jesus Christ was not attracted. He felt sorry for the world. How do I know that he felt sorry for the world? Let's go to verse 18 of the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If what the devil was showing Jesus were good things, then why would Jesus be preaching good news to the poor? Where was poverty? Where was blindness? Where was oppression? In the kingdoms which the devil was actually showing Jesus, Jesus saw oppression. Jesus saw poverty. In those places, Jesus saw blindness. In those places, Jesus saw the chains that the people were in chains. And he felt sorry for the world. Jesus felt compassion for the world. He said, this is not what I had created at the beginning. People are in oppression. People are in blindness. People are diseased. They need to be set free. And the devil was happy to see people. Up to this day, the devil is always happy to see people in oppression. The devil is always happy to see people in prison. I do not see poverty is something that God wants. I do not think that disease is... I'm not trying to preach prosperity gospel here. But what I believe is that God is not happy with diseases. God is not happy with oppression. Because the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 that where there is the Spirit of God, there is liberty. There is freedom where there is the Spirit of God. So the devil here was happy to see people in prisons. The devil here was happy to see people in oppression. And when he was taken to the high place, when Jesus Christ was taken to the high place, and in an instant the devil started showing him the kingdoms of the world, Jesus saw oppression in the kingdoms. And he wanted to actually set it free. And then the devil said, what does the devil say? In verse 6, and he said to him, I give you all their authority and splendor. That is not true. The devil does not have authority. The splendor that he was talking about was not created by him. The splendor and the authority comes from the Lord. So he was telling Jesus what he already has. He was telling Jesus that I'll give this to you. But how can you give what you don't have? The devil did not have authority. All authority and all the honor and all the splendor comes from the Lord. So the devil thought that he could actually persuade Jesus so that Jesus Christ can worship him. But Jesus could not be easily persuaded. It is my prayer that every time the devil comes to you, you are not easily persuaded. That you don't just give in. Jesus Christ sets for us a paradigm, a model of what we need to do when we are confronted by the devil. If the devil confronted Jesus, likewise he can also confront us. We can be tempted by the devil. I'll give you authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. That is not true. Authority and splendor had not been given to the devil. You and me know that the devil was not given anything. If you read the book of Isaiah chapter 14, starting from verse 12, it talks about the devil being pushed out of heaven. He was evicted out of heaven. Why? Because he wanted to be like God. So there was nothing that was given to the devil. The world has not been given to the devil. The devil was pushed into the world. If we have the devil in the world, it is not because the devil has been... It does not mean that the devil has got the authority over the world. It simply means that the devil was thrown into the world. He was pushed here. The world doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. The splendor doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. The authority doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. It is God who owns everything. The devil doesn't own anything. We need to remember each and every moment that whatever we have belongs to God. Whatever in this we have in this world does not belong to us, but it belongs to God who made the heavens and the earth. And then he goes ahead and say, and I give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Much as we are actually looking, Jesus Christ is looking for the disciples, the devil is also looking for disciples. He wants people to worship him. The question is, who do we worship? After being tempted, we cannot be tempted and be successful if we are alone. But when we are tempted with Jesus, we can be successful. When we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because at this particular period of time, Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was not alone. This job is difficult. This work is not easy. We cannot do this alone. We cannot go through the temptations of the devil and be successful alone. We need God to be with us. We need Jesus to be with us. We need to worship Jesus. Him alone must be worshipped. There is no one who needs to be worshipped, but Jesus needs our worship. There are so many things that are happening in this world. So many. When we are taken up there, at the higher place, when we are tempted, are we alone? When we are going up there, what are the things that we... In life, there are so many things that people worship, that we people worship. It could be money. It could be our success in what we do. It could be we worship our education. If you go outside this sanctuary, go outside there, you see so many people, and they are busy. They have no regard for God. They are busy doing all sorts of things outside there to entertain themselves, to make themselves happy, to make themselves feel good. It could be they have not heard about Jesus Christ, or it could be they have no regard for God, or it could be they have made a decision not to worship God. But God is actually calling us to go and make disciples, so that those people who are busy outside there, they can come in this sanctuary and be with us and worship God together. We should feel sorry if we see that other people are not joining us. It should concern us. We should feel compassion. When Jesus Christ saw the kingdoms of the world, he felt compassion for the kingdoms of the world. And he said that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bring recovery to those who do not have sight, to set free those that are in prisons. It is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that is able to set free people that are in chains. May we always remember that God alone needs to be worshipped. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning for such an appointed time as this, that indeed we can come together and hear your word. Father God, I pray for this congregation. I pray for the pastor here, Tim, and his wife as they lead. This is not an easy job. It's a very difficult job. God, you have taught us in your word that you have not sent us among the lambs, but you have sent us among the wolves. This is not a simple job. It's a difficult job. All of us here are priests, the members. You have given us the right of priesthood. We have a responsibility to go out, all of us as a church, and share the gospel of you, Jesus Christ. As we are put up there, we will go with you, Jesus. We will go with you, the Holy Spirit, Father God. We will not go there alone, because we know that if we go alone, we cannot manage. The devil is out there looking for someone to devour. But you have taught us in your word that we have to resist the devil. Father God, help us to resist the devil. May we always worship you. I pray for this congregation that you will extend it, that you will bless it, Lord, that indeed you bless their coming out and even as they come in. Lord, they will remain blessed. Father God, I pray for the businesses of these people. I pray for their work. I pray for their families. That, Lord, you not leave them the same. That indeed you bring them closer and closer to you each moment. In a moment, Lord, we will be with you. Father God, I just want to praise you and exhort you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.